Hello and welcome to my podcast. My name is Mary Elizabeth Micari, M-I-C-A-R-I, as I say. To spell it correctly, it is not Maccari, it is an Italian last name, Micari. Anyway, here I am. I haven't been here in quite a while. I decided to do a podcast today because I have been reading several things about the pandemic and spirituality, and this has been a while since I've been here because of the pandemic and because of some changes in my life that have taken me away from traditional green witchcraft or paganism in general, but not entirely. So I'm here to update and talk about different things today, just myself alone without any interview, but I might have one or two or 10 or 30 coming up when I can convince people to do that with me here about these subjects. So I am a practicing pagan slash Wiccan. I have been initiated into the Wiccan traditional British branch of witchcraft. I am also an ordained priestess of Isis in the Fellowship of Isis, which is a newer thing, and I'll talk about that. I also was ordained as into a grove in New York City many years ago and Fellowship of Isis, and have done work with that group for a while now. And I am also an herbalist, tarot reader, astrologer, well, working on astrology, magician, definitely magic maker, definitely spiritualist, spiritual person, not a spiritualist. Spiritualist is somebody who speaks basically to the dead. And that's an old word, I'm not going to use it. So I am a spiritual person. So here I am in my little home in Brooklyn, New York, my little apartment where I've been holed up for most of the time in the pandemic. I had decided in late 19 to begin a study of acupuncture, and so went to school in New York City and had a walkthrough and decided, yes, this was going to definitely happen. And so at the beginning of the year, I was told, you're accepted, you can come in into the next semester, which would have started in late April of 2020. So I was accepted, and guess what happened? 2020 brought us a pandemic in March. So in New York City in particular, it was extremely virulent at that time. And so I ended up taking many, 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 many classes on Zoom, period. So Zoom is a wonderful thing, and thank God for it and the gods for it. And so that was a little tricky. And I also had to take many classes that I didn't expect to have to take, studying an ancient Asian art. So it was biology and Western medicine and anatomy and learning to speak like a doctor in many ways, studying chemistry, biochemistry, as well as things in Chinese traditions, Chinese history, as well as acupuncture points, medicinals. I am also studying Chinese herbs, so I will be getting a master's of science in traditional Oriental medicine. So that has taken up a lot of my time and still is. I am at the end of my, what they call first year. I was already here in 20 to do prep courses, which I finished. I am now at the end of the first year of the program and ready to take what they call comprehensive exams. Well, I'm not ready, but I'm supposed to be getting ready. Anyway, so that is where a lot of my energy has gone, as well as the study of Isis and being ordained as a priestess of Isis, which took about 2 years since I've been here. That was a serious study. I decided to dedicate myself to the goddess in that way, and to just follow that path as far as she would take me. And she, I believe, Isis and Sekhmet, who is one of the healing goddesses of the Egyptian pantheon, has sort of been, these have been the catalysts for my being in school now. Anyway, so I have been studying and working through many different formats of healing, but I did start herbalism way back in 1997 or 8 when I chose to become what they call a green witch, which means that I am predominantly working with plants as a magician. I also work with stones, and not just crystals, but stones and plants and more natural things, using the four elements and spirit in all of my magical working. And also, I've always been using herbs and spices. That's how I actually started as a witch, which I would certainly recommend to anybody. There's a book out there, if you can find it, called The Supermarket Witch, which is a little tiny book, but by Alexa Rosam, which is one of the first little books I bought when I first started this path way back in the past century, and was very helpful for me to understand the medicinal properties and magical properties of things such as garlic or salt or hot pepper or you name it, that's in your count, that's in your kitchen, or could be gotten at your supermarket, including food, period. Amen. That's a good thing. I think it's a wonderful thing and a great place for you to start. So that's my opinion on that. Anyway, so a lot of people who cook also end up using magic because they understand the way things work together. Why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because I have discovered a new form of witchcraft, and I didn't know I was getting into it until I decided to study Chinese medicine. Obviously, I thought this was some kind of a medicinal thing, more like massage therapy, like a lot of people might think acupuncture and Chinese or Oriental medicine is. However, it isn't. It's energetic medicine. It is, to me, the Japanese version of it, in a way, is Reiki, which is a hands-on kind of a way to use infuse energy into the body. The Chinese method of points and acupuncture is a little more, excuse the pun, pointed. It is on different points in the body along channels, or what we call in America, meridians. So that's pretty interesting to me. Moving energy is a way that we do magic. We put energy into a spell, we put energy into our partner's body or our own body. We put energy into our invocations to the gods and goddesses. We wear clothing that has color, that has energy. We use energy of plants, and we use energy of the earth itself, and water and fire in our magic. So in Chinese medicine, which is, if I said this in my school, I would be routed out, but I'm saying it here, and I don't think anybody in my school is listening to this podcast because they are on a different path than I am. However, you are here with me, so I'll say this way. In my school, I have discovered that Chinese medicine is indeed Chinese witchcraft. It is an ancient art that is very much like our traditional witchcrafts that have been coming up through Egypt and the Middle East, and also, the south of Europe into Europe, and in the Celtic tradition up all the way into the north, and the Norse tradition all the way into Scandinavia. These are all very similar paths, including Native American and South American paths. They're all really sort of intertwined. We are one human kind, so we are not so really different. We are all, I just read today, every one of us is 50th cousins to everyone else on the planet, which I find fascinating. So because I do ancestry work, but that's another story. So 50th. So you are out there listening to me, and you are my 50th cousin. Pretty cool. I love it. Maybe closer, probably. So that said, here I am studying this medicine and trying to pour into my brain really restrictive Western thought of health. And then I thought to myself, no, this also is a form of witchcraft, because witches were the first real healers on our planet. They weren't really called witches. They were called, wise women, wise men, people who knew the ways of healing. They knew how to birth babies or save them in birth, or they knew how to cure sores and infections and help women give birth. They knew how to help people die if they needed to do that. They knew how to feed people properly, or try to feed people properly for health. And all of these things have been kind of handed down, especially in the West, as sort of an old wives' tale. However, in the East, somewhat, although it has obviously been invaded by Western medicine as well, and I'm not, believe me, condemning Western medicine in any way. I'm one of the people that likes to walk on both paths at the same time and see which feeds what. In other words, if the Western medicine saves me, I'll use it. If the Chinese or Asian medicine or Egyptian medicine or Celtic medicine saves me, I will use it. Thus far, I have been a Western herbalist. There is a difference between being a Western herbalist and a Chinese medicinal herbalist, in that a Western herbalist most likely, not always, likes to start with one herbal mixture at a time. So in other words, if I was feeling a little debilitated, I might reach for my stinging nettles to invigorate my blood or help my liver do that job. In Chinese medicine, you can do that, but more likely you will find those nettles. There's one of my cats, a black one, of course. In Chinese medicine, you will most likely find a formula, a mixture of different herbs that help each other, which is fine. And I also do that in Western medicine, as do many. Okay, so I'm back. I had to take a small time away and get the cat out of the room, who is now still howling. He just wants kibbles. Anyway, so I was talking about the fact that, you know, herbalists in the West generally mix herbs one at a time. In Chinese medicine, there's more formulas. But it's not just that I'm talking about. I'm talking about energetics. I'm talking about how in Chinese medicine, you're not just sticking a needle in a spot, but that spot has more needs, more, what's the word for it, uses than one could really imagine. And mixed together with other points and needles or pressure or massage can cause amazing healing results. So I found also that every one of the points I'm learning not only have a physical work that they do, but also many of them, not all, but many of them have a spiritual component. And the spiritual component is also instigated or moved by the practitioner. I'm in a needling class now, and I was taken through a meditation of something I've done a million times, you know, grounding and centering, bringing the power of the sun into my body, the power of the moon into my body, the power of the earth into my body, balancing God and goddess, or as we say here in Chinese medicine, yin and yang, same thing. It's two parts, the masculine and the feminine, and the thing in between that is all. So, or they're combining, which makes all. That's what I mean to say. This last week in my needling class, I had quite the experience. I'm a Reiki master. I had done a really intensive Reiki course at the New York Open Center some years ago, and I've been a Reiki master for a long time now. And we've been doing Reiki for a long time now on many people, different people. So I was able to say to myself at one point during the needling session, I was having trouble getting the needle to go where it needed to go. And it was a resistance. The body itself was resisting. So I changed my focus from force to what I would say many of us consider magic, used my thinking of Reiki to soften the skin, released my Reiki energy into the needle, and the needle went right into the body without any pain, without any problem. And needles, by the way, don't really hurt unless, of course, there's something really stuck there or stagnation, or indeed you are in the wrong spot. So there's that. But interesting. I've also been getting a lot of sessions myself recently. I do have some chronic illness issues, and so I've been going for my, thank God, mostly free care at my school. And I've had some amazing things happen on the table. I've seen things, heard things. I've cried. I've slept. In the sleeping, I've had visions of color and of goddesses and of all sorts of fun and wonderful things. So, as I've said before, I've done all these things. I've done Reiki master. I'm also a sound and music healer. And I use these things now in this practice, just like I would in witchcraft. So it's pretty interesting also to know that in Chinese medicine, they work with food. They work with rocks, crystals, all sorts, of course, herbs and massage. And then again, all these elements. In Chinese medicine, there are elements as well. Earth, air, fire, water. And metal, we add metal in Chinese medicine because metal is the sun of the earth. It's a long story, but it's part of that. And also in some traditions, as in Wicca, the center is earth. It's very interesting to me how even in the Chinese thinking, wood would be representative of air. And in some Celtic traditions, the wand itself is wood because that represents air because it rises into the sky. Little things like that that I've discovered, or big things like that that I've discovered in the past almost 2 years and been trying to tie together. So I offer that to you. There's plenty of information on Google if you'd like to check. Just type in, you know, Chinese medicine and witchcraft and see if that comes up for you. And also you can type that in, you know, and have an open mind about it. I'm not saying witchcraft is bad or evil or black or dark, of course. If you've been listening to the rest of this podcast, you know I don't see it as a dark force at all, but just an energetic way, a movement of energy, a movement of thought, a movement of, you know, intake and exhale of different sorts of powers that are amongst us in implants, in animals, in the sky, in the air we breathe, inside of ourselves as gods and goddesses. All of this is how I see it. I don't see it as a dark art, although There are people that do, and that's their business, but that is not the way I do this at all. I am not at all into darkness. I do not believe in the devil. I don't care about any of that stuff. Just get that clear before anybody responds to me and says bad things, okay? So, or says that, how dare I say Chinese medicine is witchcraft. It's an interesting thought. I am studying, I am really in the thick of it, and I am discovering that I already have the tools. Although I don't know everything, believe me, there is so much to know. I know there are over 300 points and thousands of herbs I have to memorize and use. That's far in the future for me. I will maybe at this age never become a super master of this medicine, although I will be relatively adept, and hopefully the pulling of my past experiences as yours, as pagans, as magicians, as witches, if you want to call yourself that, will add to any healing you might decide to do for yourself, for your friends or family. I welcome any questions. You can always write to me at themagicalapothecary@gmail.com. It's the, T-H-E, magical, magicalapothecary@gmail.com. And if you have questions about this or want some resources or something else, I'm very happy to give it to you. I'm going to start doing podcasts now as often as I can. I am doing this before my herbal class today, which I will have online, right? And I will be studying with somebody in San Diego called Tan Tan Huang, his name is, and one of the most advanced herbalists I've ever encountered in my life, be Western or not. So that's going to be wonderful fun, and it has been this entire semester. He's amazing. So if you're interested in more of this, that's, let me know, and be aware that I will be doing podcasts on different subjects. Coming up in a few days is the Sabbat, S-A-B-B-A-T, Sabbat of Imolc, I-M-O-L-C, which is on the night between January 31st and February 1st, just before Groundhog's Day in America. It is the time when the animals that are now giving birth, believe it or not, to small animals at this time, become heavy with their milk, the mammals, and are able to help us to eat, or our ancestors to eat. So if you're going to celebrate this over the weekend, perhaps this weekend or on that date, please try to eat something that's delicious and dairy to bless and thank the animals that give us their milk, whether it be voluntary or not. And I am a vegan, and as many of you may be, you can also do it with just a real proper prayer for them, and also just enjoy something that's made of some other kind of thing, like almonds or coconuts, and just call that milk too. Just know that you're just celebrating that. And also the holiday Imolc itself is a Celtic holiday, and it's dedicated to the goddess Brigid, who's a triple goddess, and B-R-I-G-I-D, Brigid or Brigid, one of the most ancient goddesses of the north areas in our planet. Please take a look at her if you're going to be celebrating, because there are so many traditions surrounding what needs to be done, period. Amen. Again, I say. So also, it's time for you to think about doing your spring cleaning. So I know it's tedious and horrible, but this is when people generally in the past would get everything ready for planting, getting their seeds ready, hoeing their garden, cleaning out the weeds, clearing up garbage as it accrued during the winter, and getting stuff clean inside and out of your home. And also a great time to consider getting everything clean inside and outside of you. Time to meditate, to let go of things that you've been holding on to from the last year, from the last season, between now and Yule, between December 21st and now. You might have accrued some things, some dirt, psychic or otherwise. It's time to relieve it and remove it. Also too, we are in a Mercury retrograde in Aquarius, and so beware that many things will be a little confusing for a few more days until it goes direct. Have a good, wonderful, blessed holiday, and I hope that this sparks some interest in you or anyone near you. May the gods and goddesses always be with you, and may you always, always get everything you desire. Thank you.